Chapter 3. After speaking with Julie, I went immediately to Gene's office in the psychology building, but he was not there. Fortunately, his personal assistant, the beautiful Helena, who should be called the obstructive Helena, was not there either, and I was able to access Gene's diary. I discovered that he was giving a public lecture due to finish at 5 p.m. with a gap before a meeting at 5:30 p.m. Perfect. I would merely have to reduce the length of my scheduled gym session. I booked the vacant slot. After an accelerated workout at the gym, achieved by deleting the shower and change tasks, I jogged to the lecture theatre, where I waited outside the staff entrance. Although I was perspiring heavily from the heat and exercise, I was energised both physically and mentally. As soon as my watch showed 5 p.m, I walked in. Gene was at the lectern of the darkened theatre, still talking, apparently oblivious to time, responding to a question about funding. My entrance had allowed a shaft of light into the room, and I realised that the audience's eyes were now on me, as if expecting me to say something. "Time's up," I said. "I have a meeting with Gene." People immediately started getting up, and I observed the dean in the front row with three people in corporate costumes. I guessed that they were there as potential providers of finance and not because of an intellectual interest in primate sexual attraction. Gene is always trying to solicit money for research, and the dean is constantly threatening to downsize the genetics and psychology departments because of insufficient funding. It is not an area I involve myself in. Gene spoke over the chatter. "I think my colleague Professor Tillman has given us a signal that we should discuss the finances, critical as they are to our ongoing work, at another time." He looked towards the dean and her companions. "Thank you again for your interest in my work, and of course that of my colleagues in the Department of Psychology." There was applause. It seemed that my intervention had been timely. The dean and her corporate friends swept past me. She said, just to me, "Sorry to hold up your meeting, Professor Tillman. I'm sure we can find the money elsewhere." This was good to hear, but now, annoyingly, there was a throng around Jean. A woman with red hair and several metal objects in her ears was talking to him. She was speaking quite loudly. "I can't believe you used a public lecture to push your own agenda." "Lucky you came then. You changed one of your beliefs. That'd be a first."